Joshua chapter 2. This is my last message in Joshua for this series. And if you'll notice, we're going back, right? Kelly's going to preach from Joshua chapter 10 tonight, I believe. And but today, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going back to look at the woman of Joshua chapter 2. That woman, of course, being Rahab. As you're turning there, I would just like to stop for just a moment. And let's be sure that we take an opportunity to appreciate the mothers and the ladies in our church and in our lives. Listen, guys, we know, men, you know, if you're married to a good lady, and how many of you are, bless your heart. How many men are married to a good lady? Amen. There you go. She is a blessing from God. Let us appreciate them. Right? Let us appreciate God's blessings of the ladies in our lives. But not just the husbands. This is Mother's Day. Let me tell you something. If you still have a mother, you honor her today. You make sure she knows how much you appreciate her. You may not really understand being a mother until you are one. But one thing I know, that I am what I am today because my mother, Ida Faye Hambrick, she sacrificed so that I could have. She took care of my needs. She raised me. And my dad was there, of course, there too, and he was in the process. But let me tell you something. A good mother sticks with you. My mom went home to be with the Lord. I think it's been about 7 years ago now. And I miss her. Miss her dearly. But I still thank God for her. That being said, let us appreciate our ladies. Turn to Joshua chapter 2. Verse 1, I'm not sure that this is a Mother's Day message. This is a message about a woman, okay? But there's a lot of application. It doesn't matter, male, female, what you are. There's a great deal of application for us all. So let's stand as we read about the woman Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. Verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gates. Now before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterwards you may go your way. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, asking for your blessings as we examine your word. Father, speak to us. Open hearts and minds to receive what you have prepared. And I pray, Lord, you will glorify your name in this message and in this place. Father, give us hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The woman who saved her family. Title of the message, The Woman Who Saved Her Family. And the first thing I want to take a look at today as we examine Joshua chapter 2 is how odd it was for Rahab to do what she did. As a matter of fact, Rahab was just not the right fit to enter into an agreement with Israel. I mean, and just to go back and do a little review, we know the story how two spies were sent out and they came into Jericho to spy out the city and they came to the home of Rahab, this upstanding leading citizen in the city of Jericho. No. Rahab the harlot. They came to the home of Rahab the harlot. Now I want you to chew on that just for a moment. Who she was, what she was, and I've often been asked the question, well, Brother Doug, these guys, you know, they're God-following men, they're sent out by God. What are they doing in the home of a prostitute? The answer is, they were in that home. They were in that home by God's providence. You know, often we want to think the worst and kind of accuse them. Well, maybe they were doing... No. God brought those men to that lady because she needed those men. Yes, she was a prostitute. And I say she wasn't the right fit. She was a prostitute. She was a Gentile. I mean, she was a woman, for heaven's sake. And in that day, women were not highly respected. That's just the way it was. And so her entering into this agreement with Israel is just all wrong, if you will. But what I want to point out to you is this. And please listen to this part. God did not need Rahab. Rahab needed God. Rahab needed God. And we often approach this, she was the one that provided the victory for Israel. No, God knocked down the walls of Jericho when He did it, right? God's going to deliver the city into the hands of the Israelites. I believe that these men were led by God to this lady because she needed these men to be delivered from the situation in which she was in. And that situation, of course, being the city of Jericho, is bound for destruction. I want you to understand when Israel comes and they defeat the city of Jericho and they take the Canaan land, the promised land, God didn't just arbitrarily take it away from the Canaanites. It was judgment upon the Canaanites for their immorality, their idolatry, and their godlessness. As a matter of fact, that's why God told Abraham that it's going to be when he was dealing in the life of Abraham, he said, your people are going to come back and take this land. It's just going to be a while yet. It's going to be like 600 years from now before you get to do that because their sin is not yet full. Well, at this point, Israel is taking back the land. The sin is full. God's judgment is being poured out. And the first city of that judgment is the city of Jericho. And there was this unworthy lady who was less than a leading citizen, who the one thing she needed more than anything else was mercy. She needed to experience deliverance from where she was. She was surrounded by immorality. She was surrounded by idolatry. She was surrounded by all the wrong people. But she had one thing going for her. She believed in the living God. And I want to stop here for just a moment. And I want to ask the question. As I said before, she would have been looked at and probably thought herself as, man, I can't enter into an agreement with these people. I don't fit in with these. These are godly people. I'm part of an idolatrous culture. But you know, that's what people today think. They look at churches and they look at Christians and they think, and I've heard this said before, I just don't fit into that religious circle. I just, you know, I don't have suits, I don't have nice clothes, and I don't drive good cars. I'm just not part of that crowd. You may be the worst of the worst. You may be a sinner of sinners. You may be rotten in your past. But what you need more than anything else is to experience the mercy of God and the deliverance of God for the life that you've been living. That's what Rahab needed. She needed someone to say, yes, we'll deliver you. We'll spare you. See, first thing I want everyone here to get today is this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We keep our Bibles going here at Victory, right? Turn over there with me if you would. Here's the call. It does not matter your past. It does not matter your background. It does not matter if you think you fit in. Here's what God says concerning that. Matthew 11, 28. Come. Come. Come unto me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First thing I want everybody to realize is that invitation goes out to you. If you're sitting in that pew saying, looking around at other Christians saying, man, I'm not sure I fit in this crowd. Let me set your mind at ease. You are surrounded by sinners. You need Jesus. And listen, when you come to God, you're not coming to me or another pastor. You're coming to God. And God's invitation is come, and I will give you rest. You don't fit in until God works His work in your life. And that's when you start, that's when you fit in. Listen, I plead, I beg with you today. Don't look around here and dismiss it. You know, I don't belong in this crowd. I'm just not. Please don't. Because God's brought you here today to show you mercy and love and grace. But you have to make a decision. Which brings us to Rahab's moment of decision. You see, the whole city, it's not that big of a city. From what I could research, it's somewhere between 2,500, 3,000 people in that city. And so probably not a lot goes on in that city everybody don't know about. And so what's going on is that Jericho, they saw these spies come in. And they wouldn't tell the king. So the king sent to Rahab, said, send out these spies to us. Deliver these spies to us. They're here to spy out our city. They're going to overtake us. They're going to overthrow us. And it's interesting what Rahab did. Rahab hid them on a roof. It says she covered them with stalks of flax, right? And then she told the king's men who came, she told them, oh, those guys, I didn't know who they were. I didn't know they were Israelites. They just came and they left and they went out the city gate before the city gates were locked. But if you hurry, you run after them, you'll probably catch them. But I didn't know who they were. And so the king's men, of course, bought it. They leave. They go chasing those guys. And she goes back up to the roof. And she enters an agreement with them. Says, I've saved you. Now you show me kindness and save me. And here's the question. Why did she do that? Wait a minute. I want you to think about it. This is a hometown girl. And she's entering into an agreement with the Israelites who are going to overthrow her city. Why would you? That's treason. Right? You talk about, that's just horrible. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, and I'll show you why she did. Hebrews chapter 11, set chapter of faith, verse 31, tells us why Rahab did what she did. It says, by faith, I'll slow down a minute. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Why did she do what she did? She knew judgment was coming, and she was not willing to perish with unbelievers. Why is that important? People are faced with a choice today. Do I perish with the culture, or do I live with God? And I see that in our country. And this next slide, before you get bent out of shape, I want to explain it, okay? Patriotism is not always godliness. The word patriotism itself means devoted love, support, and defense of one's country. That's patriotism. And sometimes we get the thought of, we're United States of America, so God's just naturally on our side. I mean, after all, we are the U.S., right? And we have such phrases as, in God we trust, and God bless America. But you see, here's the problem. We have this mentality that God is always on our side, and yet We dishonor God by murdering babies and calling it abortion. If you've ever experienced an abortion, please understand there is mercy, there's grace, and there's forgiveness. But we also have to understand as a church and as a God-fearing people what abortion is. It is ungodly. It is murder. And I'll be quite honest with you. I'll be straightforward with you. I don't get why there's such a big deal of this deal of the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. It's saving babies. But for, I'm not sure, since the 60s, that's where our country has been. We say, God bless America. And then we dishonor God by corrupting marriage with same-sex unions. And if you've ever been down that road of same-sex relationships, listen, there's mercy and there's grace. But let me tell you, we cannot accept and we cannot support it. Why? Because it's ungodly. Read Romans chapter 1. We dishonor God by gender confusion. I used to get angry. Now it just breaks my heart that people don't know if they're a boy or a girl. And it's being promoted now. Oh, let's just live and let live and accept the way they... No! No! That's not patriotism. You look at Romans chapter 1. How does God feel about it? Romans chapter 1 verse 32. God is... He's gone through a long list. And listen, I'm talking about a long list of sinful ungodliness. Men exchange the natural use of the woman... for what is against nature, men leaving the natural, lust for one another. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Verse 29, being filled with unrighteous sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And he goes on and on and on. And then in verse 32, he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but also approve of those who practice them. That's why we've got to stand. You may say, Brother Doug, I'm not involved in immorality. I'm not living with my girlfriend. I'm not in a same-sex union. I'm not. But listen, do you approve it? Do you accept it? No. You see, somewhere in life, you've got to take a stand. That's what Rahab did. She knew her people were ungodly. They were immoral. And she said, I'm not going to perish with these people. And the one thing the United States of America needs right now more than anything else is a people who will stand up and say, no, that's wrong. We do not accept it. See, some people say, well, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I'll fight to the death for your right to live it. Sounds noble. It's really not. I will not accept, I will not support it, nor will I have any association with it. But I will share with you the love of God. And that love says you need deliverance, just like Rahab did. She was a harlot, but there was mercy for her. And if there was mercy for her, there's mercy for you. There's mercy for me. And you see, that's what is needed in today's culture, is for people to back up and say, no, this is not right. I need mercy. I'm not willing to perish with the culture. But rather, I want to take my stand with Jesus. Listen, I look at moms and dads for the families today. I love you. And I'm praying for you. Because kids today are facing more. They're facing more difficult choices than I ever dreamed of as a child. The world is doing its very best to reprogram our children. And beloved, we need mothers and fathers who will take a stand and say, no, that's wrong. We do not have the right to abuse anyone, but we do have the right to stand up and be heard and say, I will not perish with this lifestyle. Why? Because the day of judgment's coming. Joshua chapter 6. Ultimately, what happens? They make the agreement with Rahab. She ties a scarlet cord in her window. And when Israel returns, they'll see the scarlet cord and they will spare everyone inside that house. And so Israel, of course, does return and they attack the city. And in Joshua chapter 6, verse 21, it says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. The culture perished. The culture perished. But look at what happened to Rahab. Verse 23. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had, so that they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Israel goes marching around those walls. The walls fall down and they come rushing in. But there's one place that's marked by a scarlet cord that says, okay, you boys, these are safety. These, you do not harm these. And Rahab knew it. And if you'll notice there in verse 23, it was her, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all her relatives. Now listen, they didn't have big houses back then, right? Her house was on the city wall. It wasn't like a condo. She had that place crammed full of kinfolks. She knew judgment was coming. She knew destruction was coming. And what did she do? She entered into agreement with God's people to be spared. And then she went out and she got every member of her family that she possibly could. And they all went into her home under her protection. She filled her house because judgment was coming. My friends, judgment is coming. And you say, Brother Doug, you're supposed to be an encouraging Mother's Day message. I'm trying. But this is what God has given me. I think it's my responsibility at this point to tell mothers, mothers, be mothers. Be mothers. Godly mothers. Take a stand. 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1. Paul told Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Jesus is coming back. judgment is coming. What do you do about it? My friends, do the same thing Rahab did. Fill your house. Let everyone in your house know that Jesus is Lord. Let everyone in your house know that there's mercy for the sinner. Let everyone in the house know that there's grace. And yes, judgment's coming, but for the child of God, we are not going to experience that judgment. You see, that's the good news. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've come short of the glory of God. Yes, I've done things that I should not do. And if I could go back and change the past, I would. But I can't. All I can do is cry out to Jesus for mercy. Cry out to Jesus for forgiveness. And guess what? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ladies, gentlemen, fill your house. Tell them judgment's coming. Share with them there's forgiveness. There is protection. There is grace. Tell them all about Jesus. Moms, you be moms. Dads, you be dads. And don't grow weary in well-doing. You know, there are moms in this church, dads too for that matter, that church is still important to them. They're still faithful about bringing their kids, making sure their family's in church. And I want you to know, I love and I appreciate you for that because it's encouraging to this pastor. But hang in there. Don't let up. Judgment is coming. There are church members here that have faithfully served for years and years, and victory is still what it is today because of the service that you've done here for years. Taught that Sunday school class. Cleaned the facilities, you know, just serving whatever way you could. I want to say thank you, but I also want to say don't give up. Judgment is coming, and it is our job to take everyone to heaven that we possibly can. Because we're going. If you're here today and you're on the fence, you're on that fence of, the world's on one side and God's on the other. Which one do I choose? Choose God. Choose God. You see, when you really think of it logically, it's like this. Jesus says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say you had to be good enough. Didn't say you had to do certain things. Didn't say you had to earn anything. Said, whosoever. That's you and that's me. We all know we're not good enough to go to heaven. Amen? We're not. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died for us because we're not good enough. You see, sin has to be judged. And that's what the life of Jesus was about. When He went to the cross of Calvary, that was the judgment of your sin. The Bible puts it like this, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life. But you have to receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you saved? If not, here's the thing. You can be saved by prayer today. Asking the Lord to save you. Knowing that He is the Son of God who died for your sins. And that He will save you. If you just ask, oh, Brother Doug, I'm not good at no. Remember mercy, grace, we don't deal with it. Jesus dealt with your sin. Will you receive the gift? How many mothers in this congregation today like receiving a gift from your children? Would you just raise your hand? It's good to receive a gift. Mother's Day, Christmas, or whatever. But here's the deal. You've got to accept the gift. Jesus died for you. But it does not, it will not go to your account if you don't receive the gift. Are you saved? Will you call upon Jesus today for salvation? Maybe you're here, you're fighting a battle. The war is raging around you. The altar's open for you. Whatever your spiritual need is today, let Jesus have His way. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank You that there's mercy and grace found in You. No matter how bad we think we are or how unfit we think we are, there's mercy and grace in You. Lord, I know that the call of the world is sucking a lot of people in today. And so we as a nation have come to accept ungodliness as just part of our culture. Help us, Lord, to be bold enough to stand, to speak the truth in love. Help us, Lord, that the world may see You living in us. And now, Lord, in this invitation, I just pray Your will be done. You know the needs of everyone present and of every life. I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.